The BPP is more than just a radio show, even a radio show that mentions the word butt wedge a lot. We have this whole other side to us, made up of ones and zeros molded into the form of words and pictures. It seems like a very uninteresting picture, doesn't it? Until I tell you this, the conclusion, the amalgamation of those ones and zeros, they reside in a glowing box sitting on your desk. You type the words npr.org/Bryant Park into the internet, and we magically appear. We even have an audio representation of this. Yes, that's right. There is music involved. And the woman who wrangles all those bits and those ones and those zeros is BPP web editor Laura Conaway. Hello, Laura.
Hey, God, that's a lot of work. Ones, zeros. If they ever add twos and threes, I'm done.
That would be cool.
I'm not going any farther.
That would be 3D internet.
So,
today, those cats on the treadmills will be all around you.
They'll be everywhere. There'll be fur flying. We're having a lot of fun today continuing this book club discussion. We just finished reading Anya Yulenich's novel Petropolis. And actually, I'm still in the middle of it. I have to confess to being in the last third, but I'm going to get there before we interview Yulenich tomorrow. The thread is open on the blog. People are dropping in questions. People are wondering if there really is such a place in Siberia as Asbestos 2. I hope not. I don't want to have to live in it. One person, Julia from Denver, wrote in talking about the protagonist, Sasha, having a relationship with this guy in a wheelchair named Jake. And Julia writes, I'm married to a disabled man, and I rarely see realistic relationships between able-bodied and disabled people.
And did you think this was one?
Definitely
realistic.
One. Yeah.
Excellent.
No question. Also, today on the show, we're looking at this story that I find really kind of amazing. It's bubbling up on Capitol Hill. And the best way I can think of it is, you know when you get a new job and the company shows you this whole policy about what you can and can't do on computers?
Yeah.
Like no personal blogging, no looking at porn and so on.
Right.
Well, it turns out Congress has rules like this too for its members.
And when you take that new job, a lot of the times they say, and that's why this long disclaimer has to go on the end of your email, this is the personal property of so-and-so firm. And, you know, whenever I get those emails from my friends at those jobs, I'm like, does that do anything? Does
right.
that stupid disclaimer mean anything in the real world?
Well, it turns out if you work for Congress, in other words, if you're elected to a position, even then, if you want to use a site like Twitter, for instance, you have to put one of those disclaimers at the end of every communication.
Well, that I could see where the problem would be, because the most characters you have at Twitter is 140.
That's
and
it.
And those disclaimers take up, you know, maybe 1,000 characters.
That's
alone.
Like 3 or 4 paragraphs of
yeah.
disclaimer, yeah. So what you've got is a situation where a Republican and a Democratic congressman have each opened a Twitter account. They're just trying to talk to their constituents. But according to company rules, Congress's company rules, they're not allowed to.
This is, by the way, Ian Chillog, who's here with us laughing along. We were going to employ a laugh track and a soundtrack, but we got Ian instead.
Yeah, why
I do what
why
I can.
The
recording?
He is here to inform us of another story. He's not here to make friends. But first, you did talk to one of these Twitter guys, right?
Well, I talked to this person who's been sort of pushing this story along, because this kind of story tends to get moved by bloggers. This guy, Aaron Brazell of Technosailor.com, talked to me this morning, got up early and said, look, this situation is just kind of ridiculous.
Well, frankly, I mean, we're in 2008, and we have supposedly a government for the people and by the people. And right now, all the evidence shows that most people are getting their news on the internet. People are increasingly engaging with each other online, and that's where Congress should be.
As the person who runs Technosailor.com, this blog, what do you think your job here is?
I'm just trying to be as neutral as possible. This is a nonpartisan fight, so I'm not trying to get into politics. And I'm just trying to bring as much information to bear as possible, because I think when people see that, then I think they will naturally want to see change and use the tools they have available to try to push that change themselves.
So that's Aaron Brazell of Technosailor.com. He lives in Baltimore. He's been following this story for all of 2 days. And what he's seeing, what I think we're going to see, is an emerging campaign on places like Twitter and Facebook and blogs, basically to let Congress Twitter.
Grab them by the collar, yank them into modernity, yank them onto places like YouTube.
Free and, Congress.
And it is there on YouTube that you will find a social comment. I didn't find it. Ian Chillog found it. Tell us about this really excellent video that says a lot about us.
Yeah, this is a, it's you know, what's called a supercut, where just a person will...
Like not a really bad haircut
yeah,
for $11?
No, no. Not the place where I get my haircut.
I get mine for $8.50. I don't know about you.
Do you ever go to Fantastic Sam's? Sorry.
Yes.
Tangent.
In L.A.
Supercut.
So, basically, the more laudatory words in the title, the worse haircut.
Super duper cut. Supercuts are when people take kind of every instance they can find of a single thing happening. So, like, you might find every time Paris Hilton said, "That's hot," mm-hmm. make them into a video montage, and the sum is hilarious.
Yes.
And this supercut is people on reality competition shows like Survivor saying, "I'm not here to make friends."
I'm not here to make friends.
I'm not here to make friends.
No, I'm not here to make friends.
I'm here to win.
The number one reality show cliche.
Yeah. No, I think it is. It's
Ian, are you here to make friends?
Me, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to win on the site.
Yeah, I think you won.
On the reality show Make Friends with Tila Tequila, I think it's unfortunate that people go on and saying they're not here to make friends.
Actually, I'm paraphrasing, but there is one. I'm not here to make friends with anyone but Tila from the Tila Tequila show.
Okay, now here's the question. Do you think this is reality shows imprinting themselves on future reality contestants that they saw that, you know, season one in Survivor, half the people were saying that and they thought that was the thing to say?
Well, yeah.
Do you think it's just that the editors can throw anything in there and make the contestants say anything they want?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a little bit of that. You see in some of these people saying, I know it's a cliche, but I'm not here to make friends. But then you think about Survivor, the first one, and kind of everybody was there to make friends, and then Richard Hatch was like, I'm not here to make friends.
And
I'm going to walk around nude.
Superstar,
I'm going to win.
And we remember his name, and who was the person who won? Oh, he won. So, yeah.
Ian,
quick question. Where did you pick this thing up? Because I got tweeted it the same morning you found it and posted it by Christosphere.
That's tough. I read a lot of blogs with
really serious content.
Yeah.
You didn't
work hard, Ian.
Did one of your friends send it to you, or are you in fact?
No, I'm not here to make friends or take things from my friends.
Nope.
So it's a good supercut, or what we used to call like 8 years ago a montage. It's a nice comment on ridiculousness on reality shows. And Laura Conaway edits our website and blog, and Ian Chillag trolls the internet for us. Swing by, see everything going on at npr.org/Brian Park, including the book club. Thanks, guys.
Later.
A one-woman band named St. Vincent is in to perform on the Brian Park Project from NPR News.